You know, I'm pausing because I really don't know how to open. I usually wanted to say something jazzy and fun, but there really isn't anything jazzy and fun about this conversation that we're about to have. For lots of us, we have stuff that really didn't belong with us. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about hurts and pains and sadness and resentments and bitterness that started even before we were born. Our parents, who never dealt with their pains and their hurts, couldn't relate to us in the way that we needed to be able to be felt, heard, understood, seen. And because of that, it created a lot of wounds in you. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. What is emotional neglect? What does that look like? It's so simple to talk about physical abuse, verbal abuse. But what is emotional neglect? We're going to dive into what that looks like, and then we're going to explain how that impacts you, and then moving forward, how you can find peace, joy, and happiness in a way that does not ignore or minimize or suppress or deny, but fully validates that experience without wallowing in it. This is so key because for a lot of us, we want to do better in our businesses, with our kids, and so many other areas, but those emotional wounds never really got healed. But I'm hoping in this episode, you'll at least have some clarity and understanding about what happened to you so that you can live a happy and victorious life. And we're going to get to all of that coming to you after this short break. Hey, 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 and welcome to the Introverted Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Denise Lee, and I'm a life coach for business owners. And what I do is a combination of helping you not only manage your business, but helping you deal with you so that you can be able to thrive in all areas of your life, not just in your business. And that is why I talk a lot about issues surrounding trauma, addictions, resentment, bitterness, unresolved emotional pains, frustrations with dealing with certain people, understanding yourself at a deeper level, because I truly believe that if you're going to be able to lead other people, you first have to be able to master your own emotions and understanding why you feel the way you feel and have a sense of clarity and understanding so that you can be able to relate better with yourself and other people. That being said, if this is your very first time listening, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button. I usually drop new episodes on Mondays and Wednesdays. That way, as soon as I drop a new episode, you'll be able to listen to it lickety-split. And let's get social on social media if we haven't done so already. Be sure to follow me on X, Denise G. Lee. And then also, if you're interested in asking me any questions or just having any thoughts, tag me. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you may have, or you just want to give me a shout out, or just say, hey, I love this particular episode. Whatever that's on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. This is not just a one to many situation. I believe that it's a many to one. We communicate with each other so that we can be able to help other people find experience, strength, and hope. And if you're interested in learning more about changing your mindset and understanding how you can be able to put a new perspective on painful experiences from the past, I highly encourage you to check out my course, Amazing Attitude, the 21-day program where we kind of dive into who you are, talk about the social conditioning, talk about all the things that make you understand why you believe the things that you do so that you can stop bad patterns, so you can stop procrastinating and avoiding, so that you can move past those fears and anxiety, so you don't have to depend on food or sex or drugs or work or whatever you got going on to cope with life, that there is a better way of living. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes below, but I also want to invite you, if you haven't done so already, to visit my website, DeniseGLee.com. There you'll have access to over 100 articles on different mental wellness ideas, read articles from guest authors on my website, and just access so much more. I want to be able to have a little bit of everything, a little bit of business, a little bit about mental health, a little bit about productivity, and everything in between. So consider DeniseGLee.com a hub for improving your mindset as well as your money. And that all being said, I want to dive into this episode with just a solemn heart and a sense of understanding that even as I'm explaining this to you, I may not be diving into the specific nuances of what happened to you. So please have some grace for me and have some grace for yourself if you feel a little bit overwhelmed or emotional about what I'm talking about. These are not easy subjects. So please give yourself a pat on the back, the fact that you're actually listening to this podcast, because you could be just sitting there and learning about law of attraction and abundance and just feminine energy and masculine energy and all that other stuff. But I truly believe there's a time and a place for that. And I definitely talk about that with my clients one-on-one, but this is not it. This is about some really raw and honest conversation. So this is one of those episodes where I hope that I have your full attention, but if I don't have your full attention, I get it. At least take some moment to kind of pause and reflect afterwards, so thinking about everything that I had to say. And if you need to, please hit the rewind button and listen to certain things that I have to say, because these are the things that I wish that I knew in the beginning of my own healing and recovery journey. These are the things that I wish that would give me some light and understanding about what had happened to me in my past, so that I understood why I reacted to certain people in my professional and personal circles. So we're going to be talking about this issue of emotional neglect, childhood emotional neglect specifically. And as I mentioned in the intro of our conversation, that this is not a one-size-fits-all thing. This is not, well, if I'm explaining it, this is going to be your experience of what neglect is. Therefore, you shouldn't investigate other ways that you may have felt hurt. Because here's the thing. I tell this to my clients all the time, that every time you feel irritated, upset, confused, avoidant about a particular person or place or thing, is because there is some type of trigger through verbal, nonverbal, under circumstances just lining up, that has coming from things from the past that never got healed. And with this idea of neglect, I believe that's one of the highest forms of abuse. You may say, well, physical abuse or sexual abuse or abandonment. Yeah, but this, when I say neglect, I'm talking about depersonalizing you, your existence, that you weren't even there, that you weren't even something to be considered. And so when you're invalidated as a person, you cannot be self-actualized. And let me explain what that means. One of the greatest psychoanalysts that in my opinion ever lived was Abraham Maslow. And everybody talks about his pyramid of hierarchy of needs, but he's written so many other things. But one of the key things he talked about is actualizing yourself, self-actualizing, understanding who you are in relation to yourself, with other people, and the world around you. And when you're a baby, when you're a kid, and you don't know how you fit in this universe, the people around you set the example about what that looks like. And imagine if there's no parents around you to say, to give you comments, to give you guidance, to give you instructions, to kind of, when those moments at school or at work or wherever you're going, to help you understand what happened. Why was Sammy on the playground acting weird? Why was Melissa ignoring me when I asked for help? Why was the teacher not kind to me? Parents help fill in those blanks so that you can feel secure about yourself, so that you can relate well with yourself and others, so that you don't have problems. But what if that doesn't happen? It sets you up for failure. And this is what I'm talking about when I say neglect. And so there's many, many, many types of neglect. I'm going to just talk about 8. And as you're listening to them, I want you to lean in and say, oh, wow, this happened with this person, with this parent, in this circumstance. And then I'm not trying to do this to dwell on situations and make you just feel upset and mad about them. I'm talking about it in the sense of giving you to give some examination about, gosh, now I understand why I feel anxious. Gosh, now I understand why I don't get along well with other people. Gosh, now I understand. And then you can fill in the blanks, because common mental health issues poor emotional regulation comes from wounds, comes from past wounds. So let's talk about, I have eight, and we're going to go through all of them at once, and I'm going to go one by one and explain what that looks like. So emotional withdrawal, invalidation, neglect of emotional expression, lack of empathy, emotional inconsistency. Oh gosh, that's a big one. We'll go into that one. 6, overemphasis on independence. 7, boundary issues. And lastly, 8, neglect of psychological development. And understand this, your parents, as I mentioned in the intro, they didn't get these tools. If they didn't get these tools when they were young, they couldn't pass it on to you, other than the same dysfunction that they saw when they were a kid. So I don't want this to be like, you know, this is why I hate my no good, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not the energy that I want to have here. I want to give you perspective so you can understand what the heck happened, okay? All right, with that being said, let's talk about number one, emotional withdrawal. This is when your parents were emotionally unavailable or distant. And they may have been physically present, but emotionally they're gone. They're checked out. And they failed to provide the emotional support and validation that you, the child, needed. And it's, you pictured the scene. You got a straight A on your report card or whatever. It's just something really cool happened. And then you're just so excited about all the things that you've got going on. And then you come home and you're like, hey, look at my report card. And you're just waving in the air and you're just so super excited. And mom's typing away and dad's saying, yeah, that's awesome. And he goes back to the shed and gets some more tools in gardening. And you're just not even acknowledged. That hurts, especially when you actually do something awesome. Now let's move on to number 2, invalidation. This is where the child, you, might have felt dismissed, minimized, or ignored. Your feelings were ignored. And this can lead you to believe that emotions are not important or valid, which can have some serious long-term consequences on your emotional well-being. And what does invalidation look like? And this is where I kind of tell myself, because I remember for the longest time, I always felt as if I want to be stoic. I want to be able to rise above the pain. I want to be able to not feel as if this was a problem. So I can intellectualize it. I can rationalize it. And here's the thing, as human beings, our feelings are flags for things that need to be examined. And if a parent or caregiver doesn't see signs of you fidgeting or looking uncomfortable or being distant by saying, oh, this will pass, oh, this is not as big as you think, and they invalidate it, that's what's called validation, you could say, well, you know what, I don't believe feelings are important. And then you can become stoic, intellectual, and just start to gloss over all those feelings that you have, and you suppress it, and you suppress it, and you suppress it. So many people who have suffered through addictions and compulsion are classic minimizers, deniers of their feelings, because they're inconvenient. So they look for that high via the compulsion or the addiction. But that's a separate episode, but I don't want to get into divert our attention to other topics, but that's just something I just want to just throw out there. So we talked about emotional withdrawal. We talked about invalidation. I want to move on and talk about a neglect of emotional expression. Some caregivers, parents, they might discourage or punish emotional expression in their kids, and they may teach their kids to suppress their feelings or express them inappropriately, leading to difficulties in recognizing and managing emotions later in life. I just said a mouthful. Let me just break it down in a different way. I remember when I was working one of my first few jobs, and I would have problems dealing with other people. And my father would encourage me to say, don't let them make you feel bad. You show them what? You make them pay for what they're doing. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that my father loved drama, conflict, and scandal. He loved it. He was using other people as his live action reality TV show experience, where he could sit by the sidelines, eat the popcorn, and listen to tales of woe while everyone's lives around them was crumbling apart. There's a lot of people who like listening to drama. There's a lot of people who like listening to chaos because it gives them a moment to not think about their things. Do you have a drama-filled parent or parents that are always constantly talking to you about what's going on in Judge Judy or what other people's lives are going on? Where the range is always gone toward, we don't express anything at all, or we express nothing but drama and insanity. There is a range in communication about our feelings. But if it's limited in one area or just all areas all at once in like a manic explosion, that's a problem. All right, let's talk about number four, lack of empathy. Parents who lack empathy aren't able to understand or even respond to a child's emotional needs. And this can leave you, the child, feeling unseen, unheard, and unimportant, which leads to feelings of isolation and loneliness. Again, you can't give what you haven't received. And if a parent, this is so common for parents who grew up in war-torn countries, areas where there's a lot of disturbance, political upheaval, a lot of moving back and forth, and nobody was able to break down and understand what was happening with them and around them. They don't know how to relate their pain and frustration to their child. And this is where we open the door for intergenerational pain and trauma and conflict. I think about the Auschwitz syndrome. Children of Auschwitz, great-grandchildren of Auschwitz. No one's been in that concentration camp, that gas chamber experience, but oh boy, they feel like they just were because the closed-off emotional walls of the parents made the other child feel like if they were dying inside, bit by bit. Now let's move on to number five, emotional inconsistency. Inconsistent emotional responses from a parent or caregivers can be confusing and distressing for children. And they may not know what to expect when a parent or parent figure struggles to regulate their emotions as a result. I remember talking with a client of mine, and she suffers from bipolar disorder. And when her highs were high, oh my goodness, we're going to Six Flags, cotton candy for everybody, rice for all, no limit, keep spending, go, 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 go. But when she hit her low moments, sheets under the covers, don't bother me, I can't talk with anybody, I can't even be present with myself. And imagine a young child who doesn't know when mommy will go up, down, or all around, and this riding this wave of insanity. When you don't feel safe around someone like that, you don't feel confident in your own ability to regulate your emotions because you figure, A, I might be, but I'm bipolar myself because it, quote unquote, runs in the family. Does it really run in the family or runs with that specific person that never received the help and healing that they needed? Just throwing it out there. Now, we just talked about neglect of emotional expression, lack of empathy, emotional inconsistency. I want to round this one out and talk about the last three is overemphasis on independence, boundary issues, and neglect of psychological development. This is really heavy stuff, guys. This is really heavy stuff. So again, if you need to take a pause, I'm a big fan of note-taking and just start writing some stuff down and just kind of thinking about certain things. That's okay. These are not easy subjects. And for a lot of us, we didn't even believe this was happening because if we had to even acknowledge what was happening, then it opens the door to explain all the pain and the hurt that we never got healed from. So give yourself a moment, give yourself a hug if you need to, and let yourself know that you are safe, you are well, and you are okay. Okay, so let's move on to number six is overemphasis on independence. This is a big thing, especially for us who live in Western cultures that talk about as soon as we turn 18, we're out of the house and we're gone, and we don't need to have anybody else tell us what to do. We're all our own bosses. And while independence is an important skill to develop in kids, but if you keep overemphasizing independence to a child, it's going to definitely lead to emotional neglect. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about Sam Bankman-Fried and the crypto king that raided his customers' funds like a piggy bank. And anyway, I remember reading about his early childhood, and evidently his brilliant, for it's Harvard, Yale, one of those Ivy League schools. And they would, when he was a child, the parents would talk to him, Sam Bankman-Fried, and his other brother, as if they were grown adults, and talking about what they need to be doing to be good citizens, and just speaking to them about how they are going to make their mark in the world as kids. Can you imagine what that does to somebody who is still developing little brain cells and trying to relate well with themselves and other people, to think, okay, this is how you launch. This is how you develop a nonprofit. This is how you make moves in the world. And they're just trying to make moves in their diapers. I'm just saying. It takes time to develop a sense of independence in a child, but it can't be rushed just because you have ambitions and you have desires. But for a lot of parents who are very ambitious, that message is lost on them. There is a high amount of sociopathy and C-suites and executives, because oftentimes they were over encouraged to win by any means necessary. And that can lead, that comes from signs of emotional neglect. Now let's talk about the last two, boundary issues and neglect of psychological development. All right, let's talk about number seven, boundary issues. So parents who have poor boundaries may intrude or stomp all over the kid's emotional space or fail to provide appropriate emotional boundaries. If you don't know what emotional boundaries is, this is where we talk about where you end and I begin. What I choose to talk about, what I choose not to talk about, or talk with certain people with certain limits. Because we need to maintain a healthy sense of I. I cannot be we, can't be us until we understand who we are first. And if we don't have a sense of clear boundaries between where mommy and daddy end and you, the kid, begins, is all sorts of problems are going to happen, which can lead to an idea called enmeshment, where the child's emotions become mixed up, gobbled up with those of the parent, or neglect, where the child, meaning you, has emotional needs that are ignored or overlooked. I see this a lot, this issue a lot, where if one parent is busy working 24/7 and the other parent is at home being the caregiver and she or he feels emotionally neglected, the parent can look to the child as a surrogate lover. And this ups the idea of emotional incest, where instead of the parent finding other adults they can get their emotional needs met, they look to the child. And this is where boundaries get violated, where the parent's telling you about their income tax issues or their sex life or all sorts of stuff that are just wildly inappropriate for a child to understand or even grasp with. Now let's move into the last one, neglect of psychological development. Emotional neglect can also involve neglecting a child's psychological development, such as failing to provide opportunities for emotional growth, exploration, and learning. And so what does that look like? So here's the thing. My job as a mommy, I don't know if you're a parent, is to give my son experience to grow, and that includes failure, that includes risk, that includes being in situations where he may not like to, mildly stressful situations. I think in this day and age, we're trying to overcompensate on the things that our parents, baby boomers, or whoever whatever generation was doing. Gen X, I don't know who was listening, because I know I have a people of various age cohorts are listening. But the point I'm trying to make, we always try to overcompensate from the things that we didn't like our parents to do. And so we've always heard of helicopter parents, where the helicopter's kind of just kind of scooping all, looking all around, making sure that the kid's taken care of. But there are the lawnmower parents that will go on the field and yell at the coach, that will go into the school and yell at the teacher and making sure the right things get done, right? And the kid never learns. The kid learns that mommy and daddy will take care of everything and never allow them to experience reality. And so I listed all these 8 ways that a child can be negotiably neglected. And it's heavy stuff. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it's not heavy stuff. But I'm hoping as you're listening to this, you'll understand that neglect is not a one-size-fits-all thing. And you may be thinking, okay, that's awesome. What a wonderful, another wonderful way I realized I didn't get treated well as a child. What do I do, Denise? And the first thing that I just want to really emphasize and bring home to you is that you're not alone. I think everyone thinks that somehow everybody's life is perfect because everybody's so filled with such deep shame and pain that they don't want to share it. And so we make assumptions that it must be better because we've always magnified the things that happen to us and minimize the things that happen to other people. So I just want to just break that myth right now that somehow you're the only person. And then I also want to encourage you to look outside of yourself and ask yourself, for each of the ways that you were neglected, how can you protect your needs? Do you need better boundaries? Do you need to be able to spend more time resting so that you can be able to nurture yourself? Give yourself more self-care. I find so many times entrepreneurs are merciless against themselves, always punishing themselves for the things they think they should have provided for themselves, for their kids, for their team leaders, or whatever. And I want to ask you, are you really that bad? Or are you just being bad on yourself? Be objective. And if you need help, obviously bounce your ideas, your thoughts with someone who's not you. A friend, if you're a therapist, a coach, if you're working with me, obviously we'll dive into the deeper ideas about whether or not there's even fidelity in what you're thinking. Because oftentimes we spin narratives in our minds that aren't even true. And lastly, I really want to encourage you that if you have experienced any of these forms of emotional neglect, I want you to understand that just like a diamond has many, many different facets, so does pain. And you may need some time writing through these experiences, grieving through the loss, understanding that it's going to take time to fully expunge that pain out from your heart. But it doesn't happen by just trying to quickly sweep it under the rug. These things take time. But I know that you will get better as long as you work for healing. Well, that is it. As always, I enjoy our time with one another. Which form of emotional neglect hit you? What are you doing to heal from things that your parents could have or should have done? And lastly, how are you trying to make positive changes in your life so you don't repeat any form of neglect with people that are closest to you? I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message via X. Send me a message via my website, Denise G. Lee. I'd love to hear from you. And lastly, please understand that you are worth healing. You are worth it. So never stop growing, never stop learning, and never stop seeking for help. Even if it doesn't feel like as if nobody wants to care, trust me, someone cares. You just need to keep knocking until the right door opens. Well, until next time, keep growing, keep learning, and be awesome.